يريد الله ليبين لكم ويهديكم سنن الذين من قبلكم ويتوب عليكم Allah Ta'ala showing us, directing us to the various paths of deen. Really, He means good for us. He means to show us a path of ease. Hence, in the course of showing us the path of ease, He shows us the ways of the people of the past. سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ And his whole wish and desire is أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ To turn towards you with mercy. وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَنْ تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا So his desire is that he focuses his special mercy and attention, love, affection towards you. And those that have become slaves to their temptation, يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ Those that have become slaves to their temptations, to their lust, to their desire, to the menial, worldly comforts, they have become servants, subservient to it, they become slave to it. So what's their intention, what's their desire, what's their focus? أن تميلوا ميلا عظيما that you move away from Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala's desire is that He must focus His mercy towards you, His compassion, His love. And these people's whole focus and drive is that you shouldn't become a recipient of His mercy, rather you should move away from Allah Ta'ala's mercy and His compassion. Do you see diverse paths? He wants love for you. He wants compassion for you. He wants ease for you. And these people want that you should not be recipients of His mercy. So really, the hatred for you is severe. It is on account of that old jealousy, that why must you be blessed? Why must we be rejected? And why must you be blessed? So they can't see you being blessed. If they are not blessed, then why must any other person be blessed? If they are not respected and accepted, then why must any other person be respected and honored? Now that's shaitanism. That he is rejected, then nobody else must be accepted. Everybody else must be also rejected. So that's the shaitanic thought. And then people become slaves. They become victims of this shaitanic thought. Someone had seen shaitan resting, cooling off. You know how people say nowadays, chilling down. So he was chilling down, very cool, calm. So they asked the shaitan, "Boy, you of all people, and you cooling off like this, you chilling down like this. What's your problem?" He says, "Yeah, I've got enough agents now. To carry on my work and my mission, I've got enough people I've got. So I don't have to work, I don't have to stress any longer. You know, the doctors told me I must de-stress, so I'm de-stressing, I've got enough agents on the road. They're doing my work for me." So, وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا Now because of this special love and mercy and compassion of Allah Ta'ala, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ He wants to make things very easy, relaxed for you, easy for you. It's namaz time and you can make that wuzu. But for some reason, you cannot make the wuzu. Water is not available or the doctors have advised you not to use water. Okay? Then make the yamum, what's wrong? You're in the hospital and the doctor's specialist that is treating you, He wants you to be seated in a certain position, not using water. And you cannot be totally parked. That condition in the posture that he's asked you to be, you cannot be absolutely parked. Perform namaz in that very state. With that little bit of impurity, with out wuzu, utayammum, make your wuzu, make your tayammum and perform your namaz in that very state. Yuridullahu an yukhaffifa ankum. He wants to give you every ease, every facility, every ease, every comfort He wants to give you. The whole desire of Allah Ta'ala is to get you into Jannah. When He wants to get you into Jannah, then He will make every facility and every ease available for you that you find the vehicle to get there. And those people that are opposed to the way of Allah Ta'ala, to the system of Allah Ta'ala, يُرِيدُونَ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. Their whole focus, their whole desire is that you should turn away from Allah Ta'ala. They're going to Jahannam, they are being dispatched to hell, that they want you also to be their accomplice and associate, accompany in Jahannam. So you see, whole diverse ways. So Allah Ta'ala is giving you every facility, every ease. You can't perform your namaz standing, sitting. Can't manage sitting for some reason. Sitting on a chair, whichever way. But perform that namaz. When He's given you every facility, every ease is made available for you, and then you don't take it, then really there's something wrong in you, there's some weakness. So, you know, you are suffering, take this. But you aren't coming and taking it, you aren't receiving it. And you say, no, I'm suffering. I have left the shop open, come. You don't have the money, take it on account, pay as you earn. With ease you can pay. And then too, you don't take advantage. And then you suffer and die. Then what will you say? Well, the person went on this path of disaster of his own choice. By choice he went in this path of disaster. Every facility, every ease, every comfort Allah Ta'ala made available. Then too, you don't want to take that ease and that comfort that Allah Ta'ala has made available. Okay. You look at the teachings of Hazrat Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, also ease. Look at the person's capacity and then work out an itinerary for the person. As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu comes into Medina Munawara around the 7th year of Hijri, 6th or 7th year, that's 3 or 4 years before Rasulullah can leave the world. He's come with a great capacity, great, great muscular person. Spiritually, very muscular. Great capacity he's got. So he's got no other place to move but the company of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whatever I can get, I must take. In the process of acquiring from the treasure and the spiritual wealth of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I am prepared to go under starvation, hunger. I will faint and collapse with hunger. But I can't leave the company of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's come with such a gigantic capacity. So a tartib, a system, an itinerary has been worked out for Abu Huraira. You remain here. You remain here and you will go through that difficulty, but you will take on so much of responsibility. You will take for the rest of time, every muhaddis and every teacher of hadith, he will have to take your name when he's quoting that hadith, that Abu Huraira said this and Abu Huraira said this. So this man has come with such a capacity, and an itinerary according to the capacity is worked out for that man. Another man comes in, Ya Rasulullah, I want to make hijrat. I want to migrate. So Rasulullah sees the capacity of the man. Inna sha'na al-hijrati shadeedun. Hijrat, migration, is not a simple thing. It's a difficult thing. You're living far away. Overseas you are coming from. Wara al-bihar. You're living far away. Hijrat, migration, is not a simple thing. It's a very difficult task. You have to leave your folks. You have to start off business all over again. You have to leave your people. You have to start off a job. You have to get acclimatized with the situation around you. From one to another, start off business from new, from scratch. It's not a simple thing. It's not a joke. It's a difficult task. Where are you living? You're living here. Remain there. Perform your namazes. Do your zakat. Whatever other obligations, roza, etc., you carry on. And لَنْ يَتِّرَكَ مِنْ عَمَلِكَ شَيْءٍ. Allah Ta'ala will not allow any of your deeds to be spoiled. Your deeds will be all acceptable by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this man, you stay here by me. You're not moving anywhere. He's coming at the end. But he's coming with a gigantic capacity who remain here. You will go through every difficulty. We will tolerate the difficulty. But you come with that capacity. You come with that heart. So we want you, you must remain here. And you will then be the teacher of many, many professors of deen. Many, many specialists of deen, you will be the teacher. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Right? And this person here, now you go back. See. A whole group of youngsters coming to Madina Munawwara, to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah wa sallam sees them. They spend some 20 days in the service of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And more or less, perhaps Rasulullah wa sallam had sensed it, that they were longing for their wives. Youngsters stayed 20 days. Etikaf 10 days, too much. So they sensed it, that these people are longing for their wives. It's natural, it's not unnatural. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teaching was absolutely in keeping with nature. He said, no, go back home, go back home. You see the Mubarak, the teaching, the Mubarak pleasant ways of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attracted people. Now I can see you people. Wait, go home, carry on. Yes, but do talim in your home. Allimuhum, go back home. Teach them, do talim. These beautiful kitabs, Shaykh Ramtari, you know, when I see his kitabs, then I see a miracle in his work. Really, it's not of his own, it's a miracle. It's divinely inspired work. To do such work, magnificent, and for it to be an answer, a solution to the problem. You know, I can write up volumes and volumes, right? But that doesn't have to be a solution to the problem. This is a solution to the problem. Right? One is the Fazail Kitab that we read in the masjid. Then Fazail Sadaqat. The person that is a little bit acquainted with the Fazail Namaz and Fazail Amal. Then he mustn't just confine himself to that. In his own, he must make talim of Fazail Sadaqat. There's treasures and treasures of knowledge in it. In accordance to one's understanding of deen, he will find gems in it. He will find gems. It's not a kitab for just the ordinary mass. In fact, this kitab has been prepared for ulama. It's gems and gems inside this kitab. But you should read it slowly. Read and digest. What I've learned here, what I've acquired from this, how much have I acquired, how much have I taken in? Rasulullah is giving these group of youngsters the same talim. Go back home, but make talim. Allimuhum, go and teach them. You've learned from me, in my service. Then my deen teaches you not to be selfish. Then you share these gems with them. You're going to Jannat and they remaining in Jahannam. That's not my teaching. You're going to Jannat. Then you take them along as well. You won't want to see your child roasting in Jahannam. You want to see your beautiful wife burning in the depths of Jahannam. You don't want to see that. So you do it yourself and you instruct them. Do it and teach them. Namaz time now you teach them. Encourage them. And every person, you have to bring him along in a different way. That child is a little stubborn, so you take him in a different way. That person is eager, the child is eager, so you take him in a different way. For each person, you will apply a different situation, a different application. You're not living in an Islamic land. In an Islamic land, you have authority, you have force, you have power. When you don't have the force, you don't have the authority, you don't have the backing, then encourage. One person you can use encouragement, a little bit of a push. You need to use a little bit of a diplomacy, someone incentive, somehow or the other. But get the person onto the right, the child that is not willing to go to school. Then you don't say this, no, it's his choice whether he goes to school and get educated or not. You'll never say that. No, he must go to school, come what may. That child must be educated. I can't see my child remaining an ignorant fool. What do you think of me? What will people think of me? That my child is an ignorant fool, is a stupid. He is totally unaware of the conditions of contemporary times. He doesn't know. He's so backwards. So I can't stick the stigma against me. So no, for that circular, that law, short term benefit. That benefit is with respect to your reputation, your respect. You are so concerned. 1 year, if your child failed, your head is bowing down in shame. Hey, my child failed. How must I stand up in society? How must I look up at people? So much of disgrace and so much of insult. But the child of yours is not performing namaz. He's failing. That one namaz that he's not performing is worse than him failing 100 years. Really. By Allah, I'm saying in the house of Allah, Allah, not failing once, but failing 100 times over and over again. It's the one namaz the child has missed out. And what feeling do you have? Now, use different systems. The child is eager. He's following. He's cooperating with you. That's another way. The other child is not cooperating. He's not listening. He's not eager. Right. Bring him along as well. You will not be able to stomach that child roasting in Jahannam. So then, look for some way. Make that fikr. Be concerned. The child needs to pass the exam. Then what fikr, what concern you have. These things don't need to be thought formally. They don't need to be formally thought. It's a way, it's a system. One friend of mine was explaining me just now recently in the holidays. He was a lecturer somewhere in America, Pakistani origin, and there was something to be done at home, so the father asked the child to do the work. Child refused. The father spanked him, so the child immediately reported the case to the police. The police says, the first offense, we are warning you. The next time you'll take the child away and you'll be imprisoned. So now the child, he's got the upper hand over the father. The father is on the edge. What do I do? A little bit of reprimand. Father, I got the number. Don't you ever dare me to do this. Now he's speaking to his father in this tone. Don't dare me. Don't challenge me. Father made out, this is not going to work out. See, this is what I'm saying. We need to use. We need to understand the circumstance, the situations that we are surrounded. Accept them and then work out a system. I said, all right, I received an invitation from Pakistan, nikah invitation, I have to go. Child says, no, I'll remain behind. Jazakallah, you can't remain behind. We're all going, the whole family is going. Now the whole family is there at the airport, about to board the plane, maybe in the next 20 hours, whatever it is. Child sees that he's all alone. So now I won't be able to manage without my dad. Dad, come and pick me up now. I must also join up. Somehow they bought the ticket, they boarded him into the plane. They come to Pakistan and they're doing all whatever procedures they have to do. And the father says to the child, just pass it back. No, no, Dad, I won't do it. So the father pulled out his belt, gave it to him. I'm going to call the police. No, go, go. I'm going to call the police. Police came, Pakistani police came to hear what's going on. What happened? No, मैंने उसको कहा इस अटैची को यहां से वहां छोड़ दो वो मना कर रहा है आस्क हिम टू मूव शिफ्ट दिस अटैची दिस स्मॉल बैग ऑफ माइन फ्रॉम हियर टू हियर एंड इज रिफ्यूजिंग पुलिस टुक आउट हिज बेल्ट एंड गिव वन टू द टू सो लुक एक्सेप्ट द रियलिटीज वी आर इन अ सिचुएशन वी नीड टू एक्सेप्ट सर्टेन रियलिटीज वी डोंट नीड टू बिकम क्रिमिनल्स ऑफ द लॉ बट अ वे इज हाउ यू कैन वर्क अराउंड द लॉ and see that you're maneuvering in the right direction. You need to escape all this, and you need to take them to Jannah. When you need to take them to Jannah, then take them comfortably. Clearly, it's your child, you have fathered them, you mother the child. When you mother the child, you father the child, then assume the responsibility. Anyway, Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is advising this group of youngsters. They stayed at Medina Munawwara for approximately 20 days. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also seen that these people are yearning for their families. Go back home. Go. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, you know, make sacrifice, qurbani, make sacrifice, whatever. See, for a different person, a different level of sacrifice is required. See? A different person, a different level of sacrifice is required. Now please, don't use this argument against the Jamaat Hazrat when they tell you, go out for 4 months. See, I'm a different person. Only 20 days is sufficient for me. Don't use this. This is meant to be given at a different level. See? Everybody has to come to Jannah and everybody has to be given a chance, an opportunity to go in that end. We can't tell that person that you're not coming for 1 year, so you written off our books. No, you also got a chance. There's an opportunity for you as well. There's an opportunity for you as well. They've got a job to do. The Jamaat people have got a job to do. And if they start off on a weak note, then by any amount of time, even 1 day you could come, You won't get one soul going out for 1 year. They have to start off on a high note and then comes, all right, at the end, say, all right, brothers, the rest of the people, by you will join up at least in the maqami kam, won't you? Yeah. So, mashallah, we'll do that. So they have to start from a high note and go on a low note. Right? All children of businessmen, right? These are all business techniques. You don't start off on a low note and then go high. From high note, you come down. That's the way, it's a system. So what they are doing is right. It's according to the system that they have to do, have to work. It's how man's mind works now. Unnecessarily, we begin to condemn and criticize. Jamaat is this, that person is this. But it's a system, it's how a man works, how his mind functions. And they talk to a crowd. Crowd is all mixed up. In that crowd, there will be gems. In that crowd, there will be diamonds, there will be pearls. They have to select it. They have to select that pearl. They have to select the gem. It's a difficult task, right? And then there may be the ordinary person like us. We also want to be inside. We also want to be cashing in. See? So they have to start from a high note, then they come low. So unnecessarily, when we don't know the wisdom, the mechanism, the operation of a institute, of a work, of a movement, then don't run them down. Don't criticize. See, we are very, this is our problem, we are very quick to criticize. Now, by the same token, I don't say whatever any person is doing the Jamaat is right. There may be one person that is going off the course. Now, on account of that one person that is going off the course, you don't say that the whole Jamaat is wrong. In a madrasa, that may happen. In a khankam, that may happen. Someone is doing something wrong. Now, on account of that wrong of that one individual, will you say that the whole madrasa is corrupt? Will you say the whole khanka is corrupt? No, it's one person's wrongdoing. On account of that one person, you don't want to give them, you don't paint them with the same color, with the same brush. So, what we need to understand is accept people, accept the good, acknowledge, recognize. The weaknesses, we need to correct them, we don't need to ignore them. But there's a style, there's a way to correct the weakness. You've got a girl, you've got a daughter, right? Khuda na khasta, she goes off. Will you go and make a publicity of it? You ask Allah, between yourself, ask your heart, in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, may Allah Ta'ala forbid, may Allah Ta'ala help us and protect us and guard us in every respect, our wealth, our izzat, everything Allah Ta'ala respect, Allah Ta'ala secures and protects. But if she goes off the course, what will you do? You will try your best, you will shout her, but you will give a very good image in public. Now, my daughter is a gem, she's like this and she's like this. Won't you do that? You will do that because it's your izzat. But you will try and rectify the situation. You don't go and publicize. You don't go and make a negative publicity of this thing. Similarly, any work, Jamaat work, Madrasa work, Khanka work, it's more precious than your daughter. It's more precious than your mother. If some of them go off, you don't go and give a negative publicity of these people. They're all doing your work. What you're supposed to be doing, they are doing it. So if they are doing it, when you're doing your work, you will definitely make a mistake. Okay? When you're driving, then there will be an accident, right? You're not driving, you won't get involved in an accident. You are driving, you're on the road, you will have a slip, you will have a fall, there will be an accident here or there. So does that mean that you must leave out driving? You must carry on, but correct and rectify the mistakes. Similarly, if there will be a mistake in a madrasa, you won't rectify it. Rectify it, correct it, but in a style, in the right way, in the right approach. You made a mistake, someone approaches you correctly, by do it like this, don't do it like this. You respect the person for the approach that he's applied. But now the man comes and criticizes you, condemns you, and he shouts you in public, and you say, no, it's not for me. This man is running me down, he's disgracing me, he's insulting me. So you won't accept it, you won't like it. So the similar with the next person, you approach him in a respectable manner, understand the person, and then with the right approach, you correct him, he will respect it, he will make dua for you. So Rasulullah is advising this group of youngsters that make ta'lim. And I was explaining about this fazail sadaqat. And I feel it's a must. Every alim, or person who's got a little bit of holding of deen. One is a person who's got no holding of deen. He doesn't know deen at all. But one who's already got some holding, some understanding of deen. Now he can't just remain stagnated to that level. He must progress now. You've got one level now. Come up. See? And I tell you, this kitab is such. It's not an advertisement, obviously. Eh? It's kitab is such that I feel studying it 100 times over is not sufficient. And as an alim studying it 100 times over is not sufficient. You need to study it at least 7 pages, 8 pages. And keep 5, 6 copies. One in your car, one in your workplace, one at home, one in the masjid. At different points, our South African life is that we are mobile, moving all the time. Yeah, they, all the time, just hopping around. So when we can use money for other things, other luxuries, can't we do this? See, 50 rands a kitab is. Why are you going to have one meal there? And one meal is 150 rands. Price gone up to 165 rand one meal. So that you can spend 165 rand for one person. But two, three kitabs, buy three extra, three, four copies and go and leave it in different spots. And when you got the time at your leisure at ease, read the kitab. Aapka kya nuksan hoga? What will you lose? Oh, it's 50 rand, 60 rands. You rather buy this side here. It's cheaper, 5 rands cheaper. Why? Don't use this type of wrong wisdom, wrong philosophy, wrong reasoning. Spend that 5 rand, 10 rands more. Buy the kitab. And I tell you, you know, you're talking about deen. I see a lot of women, elderly women. Allah has given them this wisdom. They buy stacks of these kitabs, 30, 40 kitabs. Now they're talking to a friend, one auntie. Someone is wealthy, someone is not wealthy. Even if they're wealthy, but take this book as a gift. Read this, you'll really appreciate it. And they'll phone you afterwards, hey, why didn't you introduce this kitab to me earlier on? I missed out so much in my life. Why didn't you introduce this thing here? You are going to give a gift. So can't you give a gift of deen? Lead the person to Jannah, lead the person to Allah. Can't you do this? I don't say you don't show the hospitality in other ways. You show hospitality in other ways. But now you've got a stack of these kitabs. You keep it there. The person came, oh, take this kitab. Take this kitab. This kitab has come in. This is a way of tabligh. This is a way of dawat. Dawat doesn't only mean that you must do it in one recognized way. No. Do it according to your capacity. How you can do it, but do it. Spread that word of Allah Ta'ala. Allimu. Walau ayatan. Ballighu anni walau ayatan. Just one ayat, one verse. But spread it out somehow. According to your capacity. Don't go above your capacity. You're not an alim, then don't speak at the level of an alim. Speak at your level, but spread that word. Spreading that word, isn't it easy? Isn't it easy? Is it a difficult task? No, it's an easy thing. So this is one thing that Rasulullah explained them, that go home and conduct ta'lim in your homes. You do that ta'lim every day. Every day. You'll see. You know, like ta'lim is like the person that is practicing archery. You know, he'll shoot and he'll shoot and he'll shoot. Maybe the 1,000th one that he shot, you will get the target. Ta'lim has that type of effect. You will read and you will read for the second time and the third time and the fourth time. And over and over, 1 year, second year, third year. But you're doing it every day. But one day it will definitely affect the child's heart. It will affect him. It will go get where it's supposed to be getting. But try it. Start it off. And every day. Not that you did one day and you left it afterwards. No. So this is one thing Rasulullah ﷺ asked them, that conduct ta'lim. And then the second thing he asked them to do is perform namaz in the proper time. When it's namaz time, they give out the azan, call out the azan, and perform the namaz in the right time. So what I was getting at is deen is very easy. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Look at it. In this whole Surah Nisa, this verse is from Surah Nisa. This ease upon ease Allah Ta'ala is speaking about. This whole chapter is being centered around nikah. If Allah Ta'ala willed, He would have not instituted an order like nikah, a system like nikah. He would have instituted it at all. But it is because of His compassion and His mercy. He knows that your limitation, you can't live without it. You can't live without nikah. Imagine now, there isn't an institution like nikah. How frustrating life will be. How difficult life will be. Life will become unmanageable. There may be the one, two people in a million who can manage it. But that doesn't make the rule. The general rule is you don't feel comfortable without nikah. You ask the person that is in nikah and is happy in nikah. One night is too much without his wife. Twisting and turning. This side, that side, twisting and turning. He can't get the sleep. So this is a system that Allah Pak has instituted. And you can imagine without that nikah, how difficult, how frustrating, how difficult that life will be. Then he says, all right, you have got the urge for more. All right, carry on more. Two, three, four. But provided you can practice equality with all of them, you can manage it. The second and the third nikah must be a means for more comfort and more sukoon and peace in your life. It mustn't be a means of war and devastation in your life. Understand, get the point, understand the point correctly. If it is a means to bring greater sukoon and peace in you and your wife, then second and third is all right. Your wife is happy, you happy. Who's objecting to it? She is also agreeable. No, second one, I can't manage it. Take the second one, third one, it's all right. So there's more sukoon, there's more peace, there's more comfort. Otherwise, that home becomes a war zone. So this is the second ease Allah Ta'ala has introduced for you. One is nikah. How frustrating life can be without nikah. How unmanageable, how difficult it can be. Then the second ease Allah Ta'ala has blessed us. If you can't manage one, then second, third. Then, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. And if you can't even manage that, then take the slave woman. Slave woman doesn't mean you're maid. Nauzubillah. That's not halal, it's haram. Really, I have to speak like this openly, because there are people here, not only here, but everywhere. They feel this is all halal. That maid is not a slave. She's as free as yourself. She has to be respected as you are respected in her rights. Work, you would extract the work that you have paid her for, but that doesn't mean she has sold you any part of her respect. No, you can't. You can't exploit her in any way. You can't exploit her in any way. One person, he asked his maid to go and graze some goats. Slave girl, to go and graze some goats. And she was negligent, and a wolf came along, and that wolf took away one goat, one sheep took away. Now he says, he comes complaining to Rasulullah Pak Sosam, that she was negligent, on account of her negligence, one goat of mine went missing. And one goat, good size one, 1,000 rand, 1,500 rand. So the businessman, he looks business, he looks money, 1,500 rand. So he says, Kuntu Bani Adam. See how he comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See the Sahaba Kiram. Really, it's a class of their own. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I am Bani Adam. I am Adam ka beta. I am a man. I am a man from amongst men. I got angry. And I latamtuha fi wajhiya. I smacked on the face. Rasulullah asked him, see this Sahabi, he is not making up for his mistake. That was a very, very, very clear, empathetic part of the life of the Sahaba Ikram. They don't make up. If it's a mistake, they are coming out clear to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They don't make up a story. They don't at all make up a story. The Kawi and Malik Riyaz incident, we read over and over in the Kitab reading. But we ever reflect over these stories. The Battle of Tabuk and Kaabi bin Malik radiallahu anhu, Hilal radiallahu anhu, another Sahabi, and they couldn't participate. So Kaabi radiallahu anhu says, you know, I have the gift of the speech. I am very articulate. I can manipulate. I am so good. In front of kings and monarchs, if I have to make up a story, my story would be very convincing. They will definitely accept my story. But then I thought within myself, okay, this is Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I'm going to be speaking to. If Rasulullah is happy today, Allah Ta'ala will dismiss him tomorrow. I'm not speaking to any ordinary person. He's not a king or something. He's something superior. He's senior. He's greater than all these things here. I can't make up a story here. See, made a mistake, he's coming out clear. He could have made up a story. You know, wife made some takaza, and shop was some takaza, and the business and the farm and whatever. He could have made up a story. And all these stories were going through his mind. He said, I can make up a story. He said, no, in the presence of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for my own deen, I'm not going to make up a story. So to make up a story is very easy. Really, in the process, in the cause of Islam, many people slip on account of the same mistake. They make up stories for themselves. Come up to the defense. Anything. So I come to my defense. I come up to my defense. My honor, my reputation is going. I must come up to my defense. This Sahaba Ikram went like that. So no. I must come up to the truth. I must come up with the truth. I must come to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and tell Rasulullah, this is exactly what has happened. I've got no excuse, Ya Rasulullah. No excuse, absolutely no excuse. I'm all right in my business, my relationship with my wife, everything is right. It's just sheer laziness that held me back, Ya Rasulullah. he comes up with a clear story. Amma hadha faqad sadaqa. This man has spoken the truth. Do you see the relationship that we need to have with our seniors? يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ إِلَّا صِدْقُهُمْ يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. It is just truth that counts. In the presence of Allah Ta'ala, it's honesty, truth. That is the thing that really counts. Mu'tamid Sahib Rahmatullah quotes this incident and then he says that what is the need for us to keep away things from our elder seniors? Do we think that we will be disgraced? If we're going to bring it to their attention that this is my weakness, do we think that we will be disgraced? Do we think that now they will not hold us in any esteem and respect? Then this is the greatest flaw in your life. This is the greatest flaw in your life. If you feel that that sheikh or that buzuk that you are under, he's not going to look at you with respect, then you haven't understood this. You haven't understood the ABC of this game. This ABC is that that sheikh, the person that you appointed as your senior, he has to consider himself to be the worst of everybody. Let alone yourself. He has to be considering himself to be worse than everybody else. And now you can't be truthful to him, then who are you going to be truthful to? How are you going to be honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The ABC you are losing out. You are failing in that. So the thing that really counts here is this truth. So Rasulullah also says, Amma hadha faqad sadaqa. This man has spoken the truth. These other people, leave the matters aside. Now leave them. يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لِتَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ. They present those excuses that you may be pleased. فَإِنْ تَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَوْا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Ya Rasulullah, if you are pleased, the Sahaba are pleased, remember that pleasure of yours doesn't mean anything. That pleasure of yours has to be in accordance to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah is happy, then that pleasure of yours is counted. But if you are pleased and they are hiding away things from you, then Allah Ta'ala can never be pleased. فَإِنْ تَرْضَ وَنُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَ عَنِ الْقُمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. If you are pleased, but they are hiding something away from you. Obviously, a man cannot be the knower of the knowledge of the heart. He doesn't have the knowledge of the heart. The secret of the heart is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows. So if they are concealing things from Rasulullah and Rasulullah is pleased about it, so that doesn't mean that Allah Ta'ala will be happy with it. Rasulullah suspends the whole case, 50 days, approximately 50 days. And that 50 days is like 50,000 years for them. Ka'b ibn Malik himself is saying, I was really, really afraid in that 50 days. Really afraid. I'm shocked up, I'm shaken up. I'm shaken up to my roots. If I die in this, Rasulullah is not going to perform my janazah namaz. There was a sense of living. And if Rasulullah leaves the world, then no sahabi will ever speak to me after that for the rest of time. Can you see the predicament? The whole life is surrounded around the pleasure of Rasulullah and now is in such a suspense that if I die, he's not going to perform my namaz. And if he has to leave the world, then the rest of the sahaba kiram are not going to talk to me for the rest of time. Then what's the sense of living? But the truth must prevail. Can you see that difficulty? Constrain that difficulty, but know the truth. That Rasulullah also appreciates it. Allah Ta'ala, in the seventh heaven, Allah Ta'ala is appreciating the truth. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. Until these people's truth had brought them to the point of victory. They had won the game. Now, alright, it was a problem. It was a mistake that they had committed. But for the rest of time, every imam is going to perform Taraweeh or is going to perform Namaz, he must mention the acceptance of the Tawbah of these three Sahaba-i-Kiram. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. Otherwise, the Taraweeh is incomplete. Go and re-complete the Taraweeh. The Taraweeh is incomplete. Go and complete it again. You have to recite that verse. So although initially it would sound as though it was a disgrace, right? We didn't participate. And as a result of not participating, this type of disgrace has come to us. But we were truthful to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We didn't hide away anything. We didn't hide away anything. And when we didn't hide anything, then this is how we got blessed. At the end of it, we won. We were truthful. We came out true. This was our problem. This is our weakness. And we are prepared to undergo any type of sacrifice and difficulty, but we'll come out with the truth. This is the truth. So you see, these Sahaba Ikram, they were a different class of their own. They will come out with the truth. They won't hide anything. They won't conceal. The more time around says that, you're going to conceal your Mashayikh, what are you going to get? How far are you going to go? See? Allah Ta'ala isn't watching. You're making up a story for yourself. See? So this problem is about the greatest problem in this day, that where a mistake is pointed out, and immediately you come out to your defense. You don't want to accept. Now this Shaykh also feels, right, once or twice I brought it to his notice, to his attention, I bring it to his attention, now the man comes to his defense, bichara, both kamzor, he's very, very weak. The capacity he's come with a very, very weak capacity. So I don't want to break him down completely. He's come with a bicycle capacity, let him carry with like a bicycle. He's come with that type of weak capacity. He hasn't come with a jet capacity. I can't push in jet fuel with him. He doesn't have that capacity. I will burn him down. So he's got a weak capacity. Let me just carry on like a garib, poor chap. Let me just carry on with him in that way. So what we are getting at is this ease that Allah Ta'ala has instituted for us. And this ease is on account of the mercy and the compassion of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala He has for us. He wants us to get there. We don't want to get there. So because He wants us to get there, therefore He made namaz compulsory. It's like, a forced favor. It's a favor, but Allah is forcing it down onto us. When I was a child, so I was quite ill, lost my mother, and my father had to administer some medicine. And I will not just take the medication. I knew how bitter the medication was. Now in this zamana, you got all medication in capsules, so you don't find the bitterness of the medication. I know some of the medication we used to take when we were children. You take it in the morning. The next morning you can still feel the bitterness. So bitter. Just the smell of it was so terrible. Okay. Now everything is in capsules. You don't feel anything about it. So he says that my father is administering the medication. And now, because we are being tempered, we lost our mother, so we had to get the affection of the mother and the father from the father. So initially we put up a little bit of a squeal. So father said, all right, he pulled out one gold coin. That's the money they were using, gold coin. That was the currency. He pulled out a gold coin, says, better take this and take the medication. So Mona says, I was working it out in my mind that if I'm not going to take that medication now, then I won't get this money and the medicine will definitely be forced down my throat. So the better thing for me is to take the medication with that money. See? So it's a favor that my father was doing. But it was a forced favor. Right? It was a favor that he was doing, but it was being forced down. So Allah Ta'ala is favoring us, saying, go to Jannat, but I will make that namaz compulsory. I want you to go to Jannat. I want you to go to Jannat. If I'm going to make it optional, you're not going to perform the namaz. Then you will have difficulty in getting to Jannat. So I'll make it compulsory that I force you into Jannat somehow. You must get there. Ridullahu an yukhaffifa ankum. Wa khuliqal insanu da'ifa. So, when Allah Ta'ala institutes this type of ease and this type of concession, it is on account of His mercy, His compassion, and His love that He's got for us. It is not because Allah Ta'ala wants to make وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْأُسْرِ. He doesn't want to make things difficult for you. It's because of His love, His compassion. That's why He made it easy. What's the time now? All insan requires in life is determination. When you got the determination, then the most difficult task becomes easy. Without that determination, the simplest of work becomes difficult. The determination, the most difficult task, and becomes easy. Our Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he wanted to go for Hajj. Youngster, maybe about 18, 19, 20 years of age, he's got about 2 rupees in his pocket, and he wants to go for Hajj. Like an impossible thing, 2 rupees, in that zaman, I was like about 20 rands. So 20 rands and the man was to go for Hajj. So you're asking for something impossible. So now I'm going to go for Hajj. His father is seeing the determination, level of determination. He said, I go. Let's see. So he said, no, I'm going to go. And he went up to Delhi. Right? With the 2 rupees that he had, he went up to Delhi. So father says, no, this child is determined now. Now I need to send him off. So he had some relatives in Delhi. So I just loan me this 3,000-4,000 or whatever amount. And see that you buy him a ticket and send him. I'll sort you out later on. So that determination sent him off. When he was determined and he took that step, Allah Ta'ala opened the doors thereafter. Himmat-e marda, madad-e khuda. When a man puts his determination, then Allah Ta'ala's madad, Allah Ta'ala comes into force. But you also try. The child that is sitting against the wall and not hurting himself, then there is another child that is trying to walk and crawl, etc. So if the father says, why can't you be so cute like this child that's leaning against the wall? He doesn't hurt himself. If that child is going to ever listen to the stupid advice of the father, he'll never learn to walk for the rest of his life. He'll have to stand up, pluck up the determination, walk, crawl, hurt himself. Eventually he'll learn to not only walk, but run as well. Allah Ta'ala willing, he'll win the marathon as well. But he'll have to start off at some point. So this is the power of determination. Similarly is our predicament. As far as sins are concerned, then that determination. You start off and you determine, you start off and you try. And you try 1,000 times. I was reading an article. Man was paralyzed with one leg. So now I'll keep on trying, going for therapy, etc. Eventually, he could participate in the marathon. One leg was paralyzed, but he went for the therapy, exercise, this, that, whatever he did. But the determination took him to that point that he could participate in the marathon. Where? When? Determination. Such a weak person, but it brought him to that level. So all the more when in dini matters, determination. I can't do it. I can't perform my namaz with jamaat. No, by determination. What the sheikh can do? The sheikh can only, all he can do is advise you. One person, very, very wealthy philanthropist, he says to Hazrat Hari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hari Sahib, you know what, I want to go for Hajj, make dua for me. Make dua for me that I go for Hajj. I said, no, there is one dua for you. And there is one ta'weez for you as well. So he got very eager. Hey, the ta'weez will make me go for Hajj. I said, yeah, the ta'weez, you come to, you just take that ta'weez and you will go for Hajj. I'm coming to Bombay on so and so date and you come to me. I said, then what you'll do? So no, when you come here, then I'll have a string and I'll have some khadims. They will tie you up, they'll bundle you up and they'll put you onto that boat. They will put you onto the boat and that boat will take you for Hajj. See? So you will have to surrender yourself at some point and you will go. But now he's got the money, he's got the wealth, and he's not just plucking the determination to go. So this is what we'll do. We'll take the rope, we'll bundle you up, and we'll whip you and we'll take you up. So you have to whip yourself. At some point you have to whip yourself. You have to be hard on yourself. You have to be difficult on yourself. You have to impose a penalty on yourself. Eventually you will get up there. Now a man that was not performing any namaz, now you see he's 5-10 namaz in the first serve. His tahajjud is not being missed out. But where did this come from? It came from determination. Another qari sahab was reading an article of his. Some of these qaris in the old days, very, very pious, even up to this day, some of them, extremely pious. There's a kitab in the Kutubhana Qariyana Hind, the famous good qaris of Hind, of India. One person says that I was reciting the Quran Sharif in a very secluded place, in the sticks, right in the village, nobody hardly comes that way. And I was reciting the Quran Sharif, and suddenly I heard some sounds and all that. And after some time, I was so enthralled in that recitation of minds, so absorbed in the recitation of minds, that I was not worried about what was going on. And when I hear the sounds for some time, then I opened my eyes. I saw one person moving out. I asked him, "Bhai, what's the problem?" He says, Didn't you see Rasulullah ﷺ going this end? Said Rasulullah ﷺ. Said, yeah, Rasulullah ﷺ told us last night that he's going to be passing here. And who are you? I'm Ali radiallahu anhu. I am Ali radiallahu anhu. And I am going to join the same kafla, the same group. That Rasulullah ﷺ has said that I am coming tomorrow to listen to the recitation of Qari Abdullah. So Rasulullah ﷺ actually came to listen to this Qari Sahib's qirat and recitation. And he was so absorbed in the recitation that he didn't have the heart to look around at who's around here. Here Rasulullah ﷺ in person comes, listen to the man's recitation, and he's gone. And he hears those sounds going on for some time, then he opens up his eyes and says, one sahabi, Ali radiallahu ta'ala is here. He says, for months after that, the sweet fragrance of musk, something even more greater than musk, he could get clearly in that same village for months after that. So this Qari Sahib, he's got the determination to go for Hajj. How much money? 2 rupees in the pocket. Old days when things were quite cheap. So he bought a bag, sewed it up nicely, and he bought a couple of good kilos of chana. Now chana is the food of the poorest of India, and they can live. They can live just on chana and water. Just roast it up and they can live with it. A little bit of salt and chana and water and they can live. He bought a whole bag of chana, roasted it up according to the sack, and he's moving on foot from his hometown, approximately 1,000 miles away from Bombay, and he's walking. Comes to Bombay, sees a boat, an Englishman, outside the boat, finds out that's the captain. Well, I want to board the ship. The captain sees it's a Nurani face, very, very attractive, full of noor, looks like a very pious and noble person. To turn the man down completely would not be right. But now in some way I need to turn the man down. So he goes to the captain, can I board the ship? I'm prepared to do any work. So the captain says, well, there is a job, but the job is not in keeping with your status. So what is the job? Not to clean the toilets. Now in the ships, in the olden day ships, the toilets were really in a mess. It's really in a mess. So he gave him some job that was like impossible for him to carry out. That the man will just turn away the job. And man will see this. The captain says that I haven't lost my respect. You know, I've told the man that I got a job, but it's not suited for you. So anyway, the Qari Sahib says, no, I'm prepared to do that job. Now, captain thinks to himself, I turn him down from this. Now, how can I turn him? See, the Qari Sahib is a thin, very, very thin person, small little person, 30, 40 kilos. So, well, you know, the person that is going to be cleaning the toilets, he'll have to also do the porting. He'll have to carry all the heavy trunks of all the hajis. You know, 50 kilos, 80 kilos. He'll have to carry it, stack it up into the ship. So now, I'm prepared for that as well. So the captain looks at him and says, well, are you prepared for that? You sure you'll manage? He says, yeah, I'll manage, inshallah. The captain says, all right, this is the luggage, these are all the luggages. So the Qari Sahib now cries before Allah Ta'ala. Whilst he's going to reach that luggage, he cries to Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah Ta'ala, I did to what I could manage. He asked me to clean the toilets, I'm prepared for that. To walk from my hometown to Bombay on foot, I was prepared for that. Allah Ta'ala, this is beyond me. I did what I could do. See that, himmat-e marda, madad-e khuda. You pluck the determination, Allah Ta'ala opens the door. Nothing is impossible. To safeguard your eyes from haram is not impossible. To get the namaz with jamaat on the first serve is not a difficult thing. It's not an impossible task. To see to it that your ma'mulat are completed every day without any failure is not an impossible thing. But then pluck the determination. Here this Qari Sahib, he is plucked the determination. And nothing is seeming to be impossible. To clean the toilet is not too much for him. He's a Qari Sahib. He's an expert in that recitation. But that doesn't stop him. So no, I need to go for the Hajj. I must do it. I must go to the house of Allah Ta'ala. I must meet my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I must go. And I must go. So he's plucked the determination. No mountain can come on his way. No wall can come in his way. Nothing can prevent him. Then he comes to that and he says to Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah Ta'ala, mere ikhtiyar mein jis qadar kaam tha, maine kar liya. Allah Ta'ala, whatever was within my means, within my capacity, I've done. Now it's your work, Allah Ta'ala. And he said, Bismillah. And just saying Bismillah, that baggage, 70, 80 kilos, comfortably loaded on his back. And he's packing it up, he's stacking it up. And the captain is amazed. Okay, this man here, 30, 40 kilos hardly. How is he doing this? Anyways, he was already attracted to the Qari Sahib. Now, the Qari Sahib all day, as the duties were assigned to him, he's cleaning up the toilets all immaculately, pulled out all his dress, and just a small trouser he's got that will cover his knees and his satr, and he's cleaning up. The captain is struck with amazement. So he is really attracted to this Qari Sahib, and he's watching, he's completed all his duties, everybody is fast asleep, all that. The Qari Sahib now, when all the duties are over, then he goes into the bath, washes himself, changes up, puts on clean clothes, and now, in a melodious, sweet voice, very calmly, he's reciting the Quran Sharif. Now, that Englishman couldn't resist. That Quran Sharif is such, we just read with sincerity, in a melodious voice, for Allah Ta'ala, not just to entertain people. Today, we will recite the Quran Sharif melodiously, just for entertainment. But on your own, for affecting your own heart, to affect your own heart, do you do it? Do you do the recitation to affect your own heart? Ask yourself. Or are you only practicing to impress people? To impress your own heart, are you doing it? Do that to impress your own heart. Recite it in melodious voice. Recite it but alone. Recite it sometimes all alone. And as though Allah Ta'ala is speaking to you. You are listening to that kalam of Allah Ta'ala. He is reciting to you and you are listening to him. What is the message of Allah Ta'ala? What is that discreet message of Allah Ta'ala? What is he passing on to me? What he wants from me? And you will see the tears will just overflow. That my Allah Ta'ala wants this from me. My Allah Ta'ala wants this from me. My Allah Ta'ala wants this from me. He is reciting, and this Englishman doesn't know a word of Arabic. He is a listener. And he is head over heels. He can't believe what he's listening. So now I want to recite this what you are reciting. I want to recite this what you are reciting. So now you can't recite this. Why? You're not parked. So now I bath every day. So you say I'm not parked, I'm not clean. What do you mean? So now to get that parking, you have to recite La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now he's already in Islam. The sweetness of Islam is already in the bottom of his heart. He can't keep it. He can't resist. What stops him to recite La ilaha illallah? Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.